It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And happy Father's Day to all you dads across America and actually around the world, I guess. Particularly, we have a lot of listeners in Canada. The podcast of WGN goes worldwide. So happy Father's Day to everyone. It's a day when I'm sure many of us think back when we were kids and the things that we might have done with our dads if we were so fortunate to on Father's Day. And it's also become a time when a lot of states don't charge for fishing licenses so that families can get in the outdoors. And obviously the Great Outdoors Show is very much that. It's about the outdoors and families in the outdoors. So happy Father's Day to all you dads and for all you sons, daughters, or grandchildren listening, including mine. Don't have any grandchildren, but on the other part, I'd like to go fishing today. Let's go. And even though the weather here in the Midwest is a little bit stormy, let's give it a try. Speaking of things, I guess, that are steeped in history, there was a headline this week that I thought was really appropriate for the Great Outdoors Show. The ancient tree of Robin Hood legend has died. The major oak of the Sherwood Forest, that some estimated to have been 1,200 years old, has succumbed to a combination of age, over-tourism, climate change, and interestingly, misguided efforts to save it. And I thought, this is really an incredible story of a tree that is perhaps the greatest known, the best known tree in all the world. And when you look at pictures of the Sherwood Forest oak tree, it is incredible. So this tree grew to tower over the oak Sherwood Forest as the Black Plague swept England. And as they say, the Wars of the Roses were all around it. It's the tree that Robin Hood is claimed to have been involved with in the great legend of Robin Hood, and has outlasted the reign of six King Henrys, six King Georges, two Queen Elizabeths, and others. As I said, it's about estimated that it could be as old as 1,200 years old, and the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, a British conservancy group, said that it's had its last pulse, and they used the word pulse. Interestingly, we see trees die all the time of diseases, of old age. In this case, this tree was so extraordinary that it's tried to die a lot in the last couple hundred years, but it wasn't allowed to. And there's no singular web. When we think of trees and we think of our forests, there's no singular factor that caused this tree to die. And yet it had grown to such gigantic proportions that this tree's trunk measured. Imagine this. You think of the redwoods and Muir Woods, and you think of the Yosemite. This tree's trunk was 36 feet around, and it had a legend that matched its girth. The hollow trunk is said to be the place where Robin Hood would hide himself or his loot. However implausible that legend might have been, that turned the tree into this incredible tourist magnet. The tree has been struggling for not just the last 5 years or this year, it's been struggling actually for a very long time. And all kinds of efforts were done to keep it alive. So you think of iconic trees in America. You think of trees in national parks. You think of trees in the desert that are trying to be saved. You think of huge chestnut trees and trees that are iconic. This was probably the world's most iconic tree. What did they do to try to save it? At its peak, the canopy of the tree spread over 91 feet. But the tree, as happens with older people, has been shrinking through time. But they think the number one cause that caused this tree to die is it was overloved by millions of people. And it makes you think of trees in America. Joshua Tree National Park in California. Millions of visitors have compacted the sandy soil around this tree, and soil samples show that nearly 4 feet deep, there's no penetration of water. It's rock solid. So the tree, even though people couldn't walk up to it today, over centuries people have, millions of people in totality, and they stop the soil from being permeable, starving the tree of its roots and water and its nutrients. But here's an interesting part. The tree has fiberglass in it, it has iron in it, it has lead in it, and even it has concrete. So all you arborists in the world and those of us who love trees in our forests, think about a single tree that going back hundreds of years they tried to save. So one of the things that they did was about 120 years ago, the tree was damaged by a storm or so they think. They fitted the tree with lead sheets so that rainwater would not get into the tree's wounds. That didn't work. The lead turned out not to be good for the tree. They also covered the tree with metal, and then they later replaced that with fiberglass sheeting, some of which is still around today. An image from over 120 years ago, 1904, shows blacksmiths who made iron rods and braces to hold up the tree's canopy. They discovered that the rods grew into the trees, and as in modern technology, they were trying to save the tree's limbs. They couldn't because the iron had grown into the trees. So this tree has gone under hundreds of years of trying to be saved, all with the intent of keeping one of the world's, well, the world's most iconic tree and the great legend alive. All in the end here, the tree finally has done what trees do. However, they think it will take a lot of years for the tree actually to fall down. So now England is preparing for hundreds of thousands of new visitors to come and see the tree, even as it slowly disappears and its bark bleaches and it totally falls down. So one of the historians dresses up as Robin Hood as he gives tours around the spiritual home of Robin Hood and this tree. So you can still go there. You'll be able to see the tree for a period of time, but one of the oldest trees in the world is no more. And on the Great Outdoors Show, I'm going to take a break now, and when I come back, I'm going to talk about a couple things. One is how all of us dads can improve our eyesight, which is really a cool thing, particularly those of you who like to shoot clay targets or birds or anything or play tennis. Doesn't really matter. Terry Luft has described in a magazine article with Ducks Unlimited, and you've heard Terry Luft on the show here many times, he describes how we can actually have better eyesight. It's very cool. And then I'm going to end the show talking with a couple more factoids. It's been last couple weeks I have. They've been incredibly popular. I've got three factoids I'm going to talk about with birds that are pretty cool. And if I have time, which I don't think I will, I'm going to talk about some work being done in Washington. We'll probably leave that for another day because this is Father's Day. We don't need to talk about politics. Let's celebrate the great outdoors. Hope you all have a great Father's Day, and I'll be back in just a moment talking about how we can actually train our eyes. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. And for all of you just joining me, happy Father's Day to all you dads. Seeing Your Way to Better Shooting was the headline. Started to read it, and I realized that my great friend and longtime radio guest on WGN, Terry Luft, had actually provided a lot of material for the article. And as I read it, a lot of things I've been told through my life of clay target shooting and hunting sort of were brought out. And I realized this is much more than just about how to be a better shot. It's actually how to do everything better. If you like to play tennis, make you a better tennis player, make you a better golfer. If you're shooting archery, it's going to make you a better archery shooter. So the idea is we can actually train our eyes just as athletes in other sports use tools to help train their vision. And it goes to your brain. So think about this, all you dads in America or moms who's ever listening. You can actually improve your eyesight in the outdoors, whether you're casting a fly to a rising fish, whether you're shooting an arrow, whether you're shooting a gun, whether you're just trying to look at birds. This is applicable across the entire spectrum of things we like to do in the outdoors. One of the things you can do is you can hang a string. It's called a Brock string, and it's 3 to 10 feet length, depending on how tall your ceiling is. And it's got a number of colored beads on it, and you hang it at various distances. You attach one to the end of a wall or a doorknob, and you put the other and draw it towards your nose. Shifting your focus from the closer beads to the further beads and vice versa, your eyes learn to work together and improving what's known as what they call convergence. This also is great for people who've just had LASIK surgery or cataract surgery. So the Marston ball, which is about the size of a baseball, has small numbers on it. You can hang it from the ceiling, or you can let it swing from your car dashboard, or you can do anything you want with it. The idea is to pick a number on the ball and focus on it. This exercise helps you look for details of a moving object and trains your brain, therefore your eyes, to track moving targets. Professional athletes sometimes use strobe lights, which helps them, you know, focus on baseballs. You don't have to do that here. One of these exercises requires no equipment at all, and I tried this the other day, and it's amazing. You stare at a point on a wall from, say, 6 to 10 feet away, and without moving your eyes, try to pick out objects and colors at the edge of your vision. So you're staring at a wall. You try to focus on things at the edge of your vision. This actually trains your eyes to expand your peripheral vision. And certainly, as we all get older, our peripheral vision shrinks. This is a way to be able to pick up things out of the corner of your eye. It might be a deer. It might be a turkey. It might be a duck. Whatever it is, it could be a fish rising. So Kerry Luft has described how these things work, and he says another way to do this is juggling a beanbag. We all do that. You know, as kids, we juggled beanbags. I don't know how many of us still do it. I don't. But that's a way to improve your eyes focus. But he also talks about, and I never thought of this, and this is particularly for those of us who get up early in the morning to go hunting or fishing. Your dehydration affects your eyes. Think about that. You've had a long night around a poker table or sitting around a fire with friends, or you've driven all night to get to your favorite fishing spot, or you're going turkey hunting. Your eyes are tired, and they become especially tired if you've been drinking alcohol, because alcohol is a dehydrant. So, and lots of caffeine in the morning. Oh, I'll take a lot of caffeine to get me going. That's the worst thing you can do for your eyes, because that dehydrates you. Luft says that fully hydrated eyes improves your acuity of vision and absolutely improves your focus. If your eyes are not hydrated, you do not have the same ability to focus. So drinking plenty of water before going fishing or hunting or trying to do anything bird watching where you need to pick up specific objects is actually going to help your eyes be more effective. Who would have thought that? Also, glasses with tinted lenses can help your eyes if lighting is right. Don't wear dark glasses and mirrored sunglasses to shut out too much light. That only hurts your vision. So use tinted lenses when you have to look directly in the sun, and gray lenses, if you need to use them, don't use them at darker lights, because the contrast gets diminished. And then the last thing that I picked up on, which I think is really, really fun on this, is your focus. You can make your eyes better, whether casting a fly, a fishing line, whether looking for a hummingbird or looking at for a duck, you can or trying to shoot clay targets. You can become better at this if you use your eyes correctly. So exercises improves your eyes to focus, but focus requires conscientious effort, and this is the hard part. You have to teach yourself to focus. And as Luff says, you can't do this for a long period of time because your conscious mind sometimes only enables your subconscious mind to do things for just a very short moment in time. And he says you only can maintain intense focus for a fraction of a second. So think about that. If you're about to pull an arrow or you're about to try to make a cast, whether it's a fly rod or a spinning rod or whatever, and you need precision, or you're trying to swing on a bird, you only have a momentarily fraction of a second for your brain and eyes to really focus. So it's got to be a conscientious focus. You have to tell yourself, Luff says, to focus on whether it's the bill on the center of the ripple in the water, whether it's the exact place on a deer you want to pull the arrow or shoot. You have to tell yourself to focus, and you get your conscious mind to impact your subconscious mind, which then guides your hands. You can only maintain this intense focus for a fraction of a second. Think of all you target shooters out there, just a fraction of a second. When you want to shoot, focus on some part of that target's for as best you can, and then either pull the trigger, cast the line, throw the fly. If you're shooting turkeys, same thing, or deer. You sometimes can't see the exact details because of the light condition. But the important thing, Carrie Luff reminds everyone, is that you're trying to make out the details for that fraction of a second. That means you're looking as hard as you can at that very specific thing you want to shoot or throw to. Or catch, or play tennis, or golf, or whatever we might do here as on Father's Day. And that kind of focus can make all the difference. So if you think about that, this is something we can all do in the practice of just our everyday lives. And it'll make being in the outdoors that much more special because we'll pick up things. And Carrie Luff talked to me about this. You know, if you do this, the periphery of your vision is going to improve. You're going to pick up things you never saw before. And when you focus on things, they're going to appear more sharply. So whether it's a bird coming to your bird feeder, pick out the bill of that bird or a seed in your bird feeder and focus on it. It'll help your brain. And also, obviously, the other things I talked about as far as improving the ability of your eyes to work. But the number one thing is keep your eyes hydrated when you're in the outdoors and then work on your brain. And that's it for Father's Day. Next week, I'll be back with much more in the great outdoors, and I will take us on a trip to Washington where there's actually a lot of progress being made. Despite everything you hear, the conservation community is making huge strides. I'll talk about that next week. Thanks so much for being with me. Happy Father's Day to all of you. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.